We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
Everybody's chiming in on the Shell Penzo performance line. Who's the best team in the NFC right now? We're all Brady Buccaneer obsessed. It's too much. They're not the best team in the NFC. I don't care what you tell me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I can't say that. Some of you have made a compelling point for why you believe that the Brady and the Bucs are the best team in the NFC. I'm just not buying it. I want you guys to give me your thoughts, who and why. You can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can also tell me 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm still going Bucs until you tell me otherwise. If you missed the first hour of the show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. We'll get some of your take in just a second. But when you talk about reimagined, the reputation of Todd Gurley has been reimagined. My God, we've gone from the star of the league and the reason that we should be paying running backs to finally he gets a mega deal and they're doing the right thing to all of a sudden he gets cut by the Rams and suddenly signed with the Falcons all in one fell swoop. So what's it mean? Marcus Spears joined Max and Stephen A. to break down Gurley and the Rams and Gurley and the Falcons.
Who is Todd Gurley right now? Is he going to stay on the field? And when he's on the field, is he the same guy? To me, pretty clearly, the answer is no, or he'd still be on the Rams. Guys, as your favorite, Stephen A., Warren Sharp, Sharp Analytics, tweeted out yesterday that when this went down, the Rams had a fifth-year option on Gurley. They could have exercised that option, and that would have taken place last year, and there's no contractual obligation to him anymore. Instead, they got to eat that money? Look, we talked about this yesterday as it relates to Derrick Henry, and we talked about Derrick Henry in previous weeks about, oh, they franchised him, it's messed up for running backs, but that's the reality. Stephen A., Swagoo, this is what happens to teams who give running backs big deals. This is why I'm up here saying, and by the way, running backs of America, I love you. I got nothing against you. I think there should be rules changes for that position specifically in terms of how you get paid and when, because it's so messed up. But the argument against drafting running backs up high is, well, look, it's not a good idea. You can approximate that value lower in the draft. But if you have a Gurley, a Saquon, an Ezekiel Elliott, someone like that, that you can kind of build an offense around, you can draft them up high because they're going to give you elite production for the first 4 or 5 years. You can franchise them once or twice if they're still healthy, and then you can give them a small guarantee because by then they're 27 years old. They're going to have a couple years more of production. That makes sense for teams. I'm not talking about what's fair, guys. I'm talking about the reality. What the Titans did with Derrick Henry was smart, even if it was messed up. What the Rams did with Gurley was stupid, even if it felt like the right thing to do. Here we are.
Swagoo, you may speak.
Well,
go ahead.
It's two parts to this, man. First of all, I think when Todd Gurley got that deal, he was viewed as more than just a running back out of the backfield. The second thing is, and I don't know this particularly, but I have talked to people around the league. I don't think Todd Gurley is healthy. Todd Gurley has a degenerative knee. I dealt with that. When you tear a meniscus, he had ACLs, but you can come back from those. But I think he has a degenerative knee. And I believe the LA Rams did him a service by keeping that kind of under wraps and not forcing pressure on Todd Gurley. If you remember throughout the season, they gave him rest. They limited carries. They limited his time on the field. I believe that they took care of Todd Gurley as much as they possibly could, realizing that he had a knee that was going to continue to deteriorate throughout his year. Hence now, you see the Atlanta Falcons giving him a one-year deal. And I really believe that this is a good move by the Atlanta Falcons. Todd Gurley can still be productive. He had 800 plus yards rushing last year. So it's not like he can't add some type of value to what you're trying to do offensively. Atlanta zone scheme, he thrives in that. Sticking his foot in the ground, getting downhill. But to your point, Max, this is the second thing I want to reiterate. Now you see in free agency a lot of these guys doing 3-year deals. And I spoke with my former agent, Pat Dye Jr., about why are we seeing so many 3-year deals? Because that's where the money is. That's where you can get the guaranteed money. That's really what's important. And when you see these long, extenuated 5-, 6-, 7-year deals. So with that being said, this is smart for the Atlanta Falcons to get Todd Gurley. The new structure of contracts now are going to be these short term because the only thing people are really concerned about is the guaranteed money. I think it's good. I think the running backs will be in a better position for it. And I guarantee you Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley will get a lot of money when they're up for their deals.
Well, I think the thing about it, guys, is that number one, he's not the only running back that they're going to be relying upon. That's number one. You got to remember he had 33 less carries last season than he did the season before, even though he had played an additional game. He only played in 14 games in 2018, played in 15 games this past season, but still had 33 less carries. So we got to understand that. But when you look at a guy like a Derrick Henry, for example, and he has 303 carries, when you remember what DeMarco Murray did with the Dallas Cowboys having over 300 carries that year, you see some of the elite running backs and the kind of pristine years that they had, it's usually over 300 carries. Todd Gurley has never had that load and never carried that load in his NFL career. And so clearly with the degenerative knee that Swaggoo just alluded to, we can't ignore that because we all saw some dissipated level of skill set or abilities on his part last season compared to what he did the previous year when they went to the Super Bowl. We even saw him limited to some degree in the playoffs and ultimately in the Super Bowl against New England the year before this past season. So you take all of those things into consideration. We now understand why the Rams did what they did. But then we go and we move over to Atlanta. What do you have there? You've got Julio Jones. You still got an experienced quarterback in Matt Ryan. You got Calvin Ridley. So you've got elite wideouts along with, you know, they've always run by committee with Freeman and Coleman at once upon a time. Now you're going to add Curly to the mix. I think it's a situation that could potentially work for the former star at Georgia. You're going to have people there rooting for him. He'll be enthused and excited with something to prove, possibly a chip on his shoulder since he felt like he got fired on his day off, as he tweeted. I think ultimately, guys, it works for a multitude of all of those reasons.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. And look, I want to give you some breaking news. Speaking of the running back position, Melvin Gordon has reached an agreement on a 2-year, $16 million deal that includes $13.5 million guaranteed with the Denver Broncos. So as first reported by NFL Network, confirmed by ESPN, Melvin Gordon headed to the Broncos. And look, we're having a lot of conversation about Todd Gurley and what it means to the running back position. Let me also remind everybody, frankly, who cares if the Rams gave him too much money? The Rams still have $18.6 million in cap space right now. 18.6. They were aggressive in trying to keep Dante Fowler Jr. Dante just chose to go to the Falcons. I haven't seen a single report that said money was the final issue that kept them from being able to be active. And in fact, they have that $18.6 million available to them, even with taking a $17 million cap hit for Todd Gurley. If you want to look at the problems with the Rams cap, not that they have any, but if they did, I don't know, it might be the fact that Jared Goff is a $36 million cap number, or Aaron Donald is $25 million, or frankly, their punter is over $4 million. See, we're taking this is some big explanation is why you can't pay the running back. I'll remind you, it doesn't matter if you do. The salary cap gets worked out 99.9% of the times by teams that are competent. So who cares if your favorite team overpays a running back? Because last time I checked, it's not keeping your favorite team from also being active, especially in a world where they can turn around and they can restructure contracts when they want to, how they want to. I'm still waiting for teams that are suddenly handcuffed by the salary cap. That's an old man narrative based on the waste of the salary cap was 20 years ago. It's rare. It's incredibly rare. And sure, you'll find that one team. Somebody's going to tweet me with the one team that one time has been handcuffed by the salary cap. Great. Great, but it is no longer common, and the fact is, even for the Rams carrying that dead money, it's not killing their season. If anything is, it's the number of bad contracts that they've signed. Not one, it's not one contract, it's the totality of the whole that create the issue. That's some straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Good Lord, you guys need all the straight talk you can get. Again, Melvin Gordon, $16 million, 13.5, fully guaranteed. As he goes to the Broncos, everybody seems to be staying in the AFC West. That's even more straight talk. Straight talk wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart. I want to take your thoughts on it. Who's the best team in the NFC right now? 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Let's go to Sager in Virginia Beach. I hope I'm saying the right Sager. Who you got as the best team?
My man, you tried to say it right. You were kind of close, but it's all good. It's soccer. Listen, the best team in the NFC, it's pretty simple. It's the defending champs. It's the San Francisco Football 49ers. Jimmy G, top 10 in all statistical categories. Yeah, granted, interceptions is one of those categories, but he's still balled out. Three-headed monster at running back between Matt Breda, Tevin Coleman, Radio Raheem Mostert. We got Sherm. We got Jimmy Ward in the secondary. Quan Alexander. Eric Armstead just got re-signed. George Kittle playing for big dollars in a contract year. Looking at what the tight ends are getting. I mean, come on, man. Bosa, like, we're unstoppable. We are the defending champs. And next season, we're going to say we were the defending champs. We're going back to the chip, man.
Wow. Look, I love the call, Sagar. I mean, I'm all in on the passion for it, and you're not wrong. Like, if I'm a 49ers fan, I feel good about it. Now, remember, a couple of years ago, we were obsessed with the Jags defense and their ability to be dominant for years. Then last year, it was all about the Bears defense and their ability to be dominant. We do know the defenses tend to take a tiny step back. But all that being said, the 49ers are stacked all over the place. So, you know, I have no problem if anybody wants to make a compelling case for the 49ers or, like I keep saying, for the Saints. Those two teams have to get worse for the Bucs to suddenly win. No matter how much better the Bucs get, the 49ers and the Saints would have to get worse, in my mind, to continue to sort of free fall out of that spot. All right, we're going to keep taking your take on all things NFL and all things NFC. I know a bunch of you guys have loaded in, and we've even got some Lions fans that want to chime in. I'll let you get your take in, I promise. But in the meantime, there was a good conversation I want you to hear as Stephen A. and Max, and then we're joined by Michael Wilbon today on First Take, talking about the NBA and whether or not they're losing faith that we'll even get an NBA season. This is a good one from First Take today. I want you to hear it. Check it out.
Yesterday, we heard about two Lakers players have tested positive. Marcus Smart for the Boston Celtics has tested positive. Three members of the Philadelphia 76ers organization has tested positive. A couple of folks for the Denver Nuggets have as well. You add to that the cat from Detroit, Gobert and Mitchell in Utah. You hear all of these different things and, you know, you just say to yourself, how is this going to happen? I can't see it. I watched Rachel Nichols' great, great interview with Adam Silver the other day, the commissioner for the NBA. And just look at Adam's face. I mean, he's holding out hope, but just look at his face. I mean, to know Adam Silver, obviously is an incredibly thoughtful person, wise beyond his years, an incredible leader for the NBA. But the reality is that this is a guy, and Mike Wilbon can speak to this very intimately as well. Adam usually is finding the silver lining everywhere. He's the kind of guy where if there is some hope to be had, he's going to grab it, he's going to hold on to it, and he's going to find a way to capitalize off of it. That's what Adam Silver does. That's his specialty, one could argue. Yet he seemed a bit resigned to what we're all growing more and more resigned to, because we've seen, the challenges that our federal government has had along with the rest of the world. We're seeing pictures of people on the beaches in Georgia making no sense whatsoever, not practicing social distancing and what have you, just jeopardizing all of us. And you're just wondering how in God's name can you rectify this situation in time to have a season? I'm still holding out hope because of the leadership of Adam Silver and the priority the entire sports world and the world period has placed on this issue to assist the federal government and local governments in resolving this crisis. But it seems very daunting, to say the least.
Yeah, this is, if there could possibly be a season, Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts, by the way, you know, Adam Silver will see to it that there is. He's shown real strong leadership consistently. This is not the first time, but again here. The issue is leadership at the top levels of our federal government. The first cases of coronavirus were found here and in South Korea around the same time. I want to say maybe even on the same day, and I want to say that was January 19th. At any rate, look at the difference in terms of testing. South Korea, how is South Korea so far ahead of us in terms of testing? We heard Trump say early on that everyone who needs a test will get a test, but that's in fact the issue here. Because the federal government has so mishandled the initial response and is unprepared in terms of tests, I don't know that Adam Silver can get his hands on the resources he needs in order to carry on with the season. Theoretically, you could. Theoretically, if you could get your hands on enough tests and not have, we talked about de Blasio's statement yesterday, Stephen A., the mayor of New York City, and you felt he was politicizing something or making, trying to score political points by saying what he said. But in fact, that's the reality. Without tests, you can't. So theoretically, this is what you could do. You could test everyone on a team, everyone associated with the team who's going to be traveling, have them quarantine, and the NBA is a league who can actually put that in place, right? And then once that happens, you can play in an empty gym. By the way, there'll be a real appetite for that because we're all sitting here at home and looking, especially sports fans, like starved for sports. So theoretically, that could happen. But what happens if you do that? De Blasio and others will come out and correctly say, why is this group getting it? Because they have, they're privileged and they have access that other groups don't have to those tests, particularly when elderly are at risk and people really do need the tests in order to locate and isolate the virus, right? And they'll be right. They won't be wrong. So it's not Adam Silver's fault at all. I think he's showing extraordinary leadership. But failure at the highest level of the federal government means that I would not be optimistic about seeing real NBA basketball to close out the 2019-2020 season.
Michael, where's your head on this?
First of all, a couple of things. Talking about the number of cases in the NBA means nothing. Every industry has this. We don't know how many people in every industry, every workplace. And this is not because the NBA has an increasing number. The NBA is going to have a bigger number than this, just like every workplace in the world, workplace in America particularly, since we're talking about whether or not we're optimistic. I don't know if I want to use the word optimistic, but I, like Stephen A., I'm hopeful. But we get forgetting something. We're talking about here, not even about the number of tests available. We're talking about the flattening of this virus, right? We're talking about what is going to happen. And the doctors that I've talked to, and there's quite a few, one of the things they mention is these things are seasonal. Every one of these pandemics has been seasonal. We talk about flu being seasonal. The reason they tied so much of this to May, June in terms of flattening is because of sun and warmth throughout America. And most of the country doesn't even get there until June and maybe a little bit later. I'm hopeful because as spring becomes summer and you get that sort of sun and warmth in which the virus, if not cannot live, certainly flattens, maybe we can get to there's no reason not to have a playoff. And I don't see a regular season resuming, but there's no reason not to have a playoff in July or August or September. Why not?
First Take, Your Take on ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Look, I'm not going to try and be smart enough to be aware of how all of this could have been handled or should have been handled politically. That's not an area that I sit in, but I will correct one misconception. Having hosted the Daily last week and having had the opportunity on this show and on the Daily to talk to several experts on viruses in general, one thing that's important to note is it's not as simple as quarantining a bunch of NBA players, testing them and letting them play. Let's remember that if you take the test before you are showing symptoms, if you take the test when you aren't showing any symptoms at all, it is possible for you to test negative for it, even though it is in your body. You have to have enough of what they call the viral load in your body for you to actually fail the test. So the viral load has to build. The only way that you could actually quarantine and be sure to be safe is if you quarantine a massive group of people, you made sure that they were all quarantined long enough that then the symptoms would either show or not show in their bodies. They'd have the opportunity to grow and then test them and then wait. So it's not as simple as just saying, hey, let's put a bunch of people in a room, test them. If they all test negative, bam, we're going to let them play. That it doesn't work that way. And that's one of the most important things about the test for COVID-19, that you can actually test negative for it when you have it in your body if the viral load hasn't shown up. So there's not a simple answer to all of this. There is a simple answer to who the best team in the NFC is right now. You guys are chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking your take. Plus, what sport could be played in the middle of social distancing that we're living in right now? The First Take panel talked about it next.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
You stacked the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's the best team in the NFC this season? You guys have a lot to get in on that. We're going to let you do that. You're going to get some of your take in. We'll do that in just a minute. First, all this conversation about social distancing has led to a little bit of a conversation about what could happen. What sport could we get? How could something be done in the midst of social distancing that could give us all the sports fix that we're so hungry for? Michael Wilbon joined Stephen A. and Max to discuss it today on First Take.
I'm of the belief that outside of the NBA, Mike and Max, here's my thought. I think baseball, I think tennis, I think golf, I think without an audience, you can resume those sports. You can resume those sports. You can go out on the field to play and play those particular sports because it doesn't involve a lot of contact between the combatants. And I think that if you're going to do performances without an audience in attendance, I think sports like that you can do.
Golf is certainly one you could play without. So first of all, I mean, any tournament for people who haven't been to a golf tournament, perhaps half the competitors don't have galleries following them anyway. So you can certainly golf. Is my immediate answer to that point, DNA. I agree with you and several others. Let me just make one more point about basketball and the scheduling. Stephen A., we're past marketing concerns right now. I know these sports don't want to go up against the NFL, and we're not talking about a consistent scheduling of that. But in this particular year and case, if the NHL and NBA can get back out there and conclude their seasons, whenever they do it, whether it's against the NFL or not on a one-off, then they should do it. I think there would be an appetite in August or September for those two sports and beyond. We'd be looking at, yes, baseball could be mid-season by then, and the NBA would have to change its season. But in this case, one-off, given what the world is facing, then just do it.
I would say this to Michael's point, and this incorporates what you just said, Stephen A. Something's better than nothing. Like, you don't want to compete against the NFL, but do you want something or do you want nothing? So I suspect if they can, they will. And Stephen A., in terms of, I think you're right, Michael. Stephen A., in terms of your point about which sports you can play and which sports you can't, I really think it's going to come down to, again, availability of tests. So the fewer participants you have in a sport, the easier it is to play it. I think it'll be possible to play basketball. I think less likely to play baseball. I think sports like boxing, tennis, I don't think it's so much are the combatants making physical contact, because if you can just get them tests, a dozen tests or so, you can have a boxing card, you can have a tennis match, you can play golf. But to play baseball, 25-man rosters, the training staff support both teams, the number of tests you need, and then the number of games is untenable. So unless the testing situation really changes, I'd say basketball, yes. Baseball, no, in fact.
I say baseball, yes. And I say baseball, yes, because, again, if you're not talking about the social gathering, but you as players are wise enough to practice social distancing to some degree, I'm looking at the actual sports themselves and saying it does not involve that much contact. So if players are tested before they participate and they test negative for the coronavirus, you could actually field baseball players on a baseball field and conceivably be relatively safe without an audience. I think you could pull that off in the sport of baseball. I'm not saying it would be easier than golf or tennis or even boxing or UFC, but you can pull it off with baseball. You can't pull it off with basketball and football.
I cannot stress this enough. As I have said before, I understand the concept of wanting to get the sports that we love back as soon as possible because we are craving the entertainment and escapism that it brings us. But I will remind everybody that if you are not exhibiting symptoms of COVID-19 and you take a test, that test could come back and say you don't have it and you can still have it. There has to be enough of it in your body to actually warrant a certain level of viral load that makes you fail the test. So again, even if you tested everybody, it is still possible that somebody that tests negative for it has it because it hasn't shown up enough in their systems, and suddenly you are creating more. What we need to do right now is be patient. I know that we want sports back the way we want them, but realistically, we need to be patient. This is the moment where everybody just needs to step back and realize that the greater good here is to get to the spot where we stop this. And the best way we stop this is to stop trying to find ways to work around it, but just, in fact, dealing with it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I get the conversation, but I'm going to be here to be some level of logic so that we can try and stop the madness at some point. Dakota in Texas on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Give me your take. Who's the best team in the NFC right now?
Hey, what's going on, Fitz? I'm going to have to go with the Dallas Cowboys. They got a new head coach. They just brought in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix at a safety. So he's going to bring in a winning culture. They know it. He knows what it's like to win. I think Dak would do better with Mike McCarthy. They still got Zeke, the best line in football, and Amari Cooper. They just signed for a big deal. They're going to do all right.
Well, and look, I don't mind that call, because if you're the Cowboys, you didn't put all this money into everybody to not be a Super Bowl contender. So I'm all in on that. I think that actually makes a lot of sense. Let's stick in Texas, go to Dallas. Chris in Dallas, what's your take? Who's the best team in the NFC right now?
Hey, how you doing, Jason? Yeah, I feel like the San Francisco 49ers are still the best team in the NFC. Last year, they had a great season. I know everybody's saying the New Orleans Saints are because they had 13 wins. But, you know, the New Orleans Saints lost to the 49ers in the regular season, and they lost at home against the Minnesota Vikings. But you got San Francisco, who also had 13 wins, and they beat the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints in the regular season, and then once again beat the Green Bay Packers, blew them out in the playoffs. And the San Francisco 49ers were pretty much on their way to winning the Super Bowl against one of the greatest teams in the AFC and the Kansas City Chiefs, but due to the play calling of Kyle Shanahan, you know, but, you know, that's a different conversation.
That's it. So we're used to that. Come on now. We're used to that. No, I like the take on it. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. And in fact, I think it's at this point downright disrespectful that the Saints and 49ers aren't getting more love from everybody that's suddenly anointing Tampa Bay and Brady as the favorites. Kenyon in Texas. Got a lot of Texas going on. All right, Kenyon, who you got as the favorite, the best team in the NFC?
It's going to be the Saints. We're dealing with the coronavirus, so nobody's getting their off-season workouts. The Saints are bringing back almost the exact same team. They've been in that system for a long time. And you forget, 49ers lost the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl winner usually drops off way big. So if they're not going to win the NFC, they can't be the best team. And history has shown us the loser of the Super Bowl doesn't win their conference the next year.
Yeah, you know what? I don't mind that call at all, especially you make a good point. We have to sort of take into account what the virus effect will have on the NFL season, because if teams are not able to have the same level of OTAs that they've had, you know, they're not able to come together as a team. I think it will slow teams that have a lot of new parts, especially at the quarterback position. So there is an element there that I think you're spot on. If you missed any of today's show so far, go check it out on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. I want to keep getting your take, obviously, as we continue to break down who the best team is in the NFC. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some of that. And also, the First Take panel is going to dive in to why the Brady contract is actually team-friendly for the Buccaneers. You'll hear their thoughts on it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Who's the best team in the NFC right now? We'll let you guys chime in with a little bit more. Your Take, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Also, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All this comes because we become infatuated. I mean, just obsessed with Brady and the Bucks, and all of a sudden, they're going to be the best thing since sliced bread. Well, we also know that Brady signed a $50 million guaranteed contract that's still team-friendly for Tom Brady. Ryan Clark joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about the deal and what it means for Brady, the Buccaneers, and the NFL.
When you hear the $50 million, you're going to start to think, oh my goodness, he got $50 million. But they expect him to play out this contract to be their starter for the next 2 years. This deal is still team friendly. And when you look at what some of the top quarterbacks in this league are getting, when you think about the guys like Russell Wilson, this isn't close to what those guys are netting. And so for Tom Brady, he signed a deal in a place where there is no state income tax. He signed a deal that the team can still go out and add some pieces if they need something on defense, if you need to add to the running game, if you want to add protection. But Max is exactly right when he says you are importing culture. That is important. I lived a lifetime of hating Tom Brady. As good as we were on defense in Pittsburgh, it seemed like every time we went with what we knew, Tom Brady could figure it out and beat us. The 1 year we were able to dominate, we had to change everything we did as the Pittsburgh Steelers defensively to beat him. In my last year, I got to practice with Tom Brady in training camp, and I got to watch him and listen to him and listen to him coach. And when a guy would stop short on an outside comeback and go 14 instead of 15, watch him go over to that guy right now at practice and get it fixed, get it straight. That is what you are importing. You're not only getting a starting quarterback, you're getting a winning culture. You're getting a guy that knows how to teach that culture and live that culture. This is a great deal for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it shows once again Tom Brady's awareness, his commitment to winning, and his understanding of this game. He took a deal where you can continue to build a team because he wants to win and continue being that team's quarterback going forward.
And that's exactly where I was going to go, Ryan, because we're assuming, a lot of people right there might assume this is what Tampa offered him, rather than assume it's what he accepted so he could help them field a better team, like all three of us have pointed out. That's the greatness of Tom Brady. Tom Brady wants money, but he's never prioritized being the highest paid or anything like that in his entire career. It's never fazed him. His contract has been restructured. He's taken pay cuts. He's done a multitude of things, all in the interest of facilitating winning. And this is what he is showing. Yeah. Nothing has changed in that regard, which to me, you could make the argument, if you're Bill Belichick, how do you look right now? Because this is a guy that's basically saying, I wanted to move on. I wanted to be treated better. I'm not trying to compromise you in order to do it. So why should you ever want him to leave?
Part of what we have to do when we factor in what Tom Brady's getting paid is remember that this isn't just one report. We have to add up multiple reports. The reports right after he left the Patriots and announced that he was going to the Buccaneers, that he made his financial demands clear from the get-go to two different teams. So that was reported in multiple places, that the minute he came out, he let his financial demands be known. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Brady likely took some discount or had some favorable opinion of what he wanted. They knew exactly what he wanted from a contract. He got exactly what he wanted from a contract. To me, it's that simple. The fact that it's player or team friendly is just a small benefit to it. So who's the best team in the NFC right now? Logan in San Antonio. Logan, thanks for calling. What's your take on the best team in the NFC?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. I got the Dallas Cowboys. I'm kind of a homer, but the offense is, to me, looking a little stronger with McCarthy, you know, taking over. Defensively, they lost Byron Jones, that I think is going to hurt a little more than people realize. But Clinton Dix looking good. I like that. McCoy, if they can draft another corner, like that previous caller said, in the maybe the first round. And target maybe Emmanuel Sanders for the slot or a Duvernay from Texas, second or third day in the draft. I think that can really round them out.
Well, thanks for the call, Logan. I don't disagree. I think the Cowboys are stacked. They're supposed to be stacked. They've been stacked. We just need to see it all come together, and that's why they hired a new coach. So, to me, the Cowboys make a lot of sense. Andre in Massachusetts, who you got as the best team in the NFC right now?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. Them losing Dix, my feeling is that less and more. There was some chemistry continuity issues going on there. Then they got a haul of picks for Dix that they can utilize to build up their roster. Obviously, you have Dalvin Cook, who's an absolute dog, dealing his relationship with Cousins. They went down to the Superdome last year and got it done. Had that game been at home versus on the road against San Francisco, might have been more of a fight. Just back to Tom Brady quickly in terms of, you know, the prognostication. For me, I think the fans going to have good success. But we have to look at Tom Brady and his lack of mobility versus Jameis Winston and then Bruce Arians' system. You know, they want to throw the ball down the field, but with no running game, how running backs are being disrespected right now. And you just telling defenses, you know, so they're going to have to work that out and, you know, tailor the offense differently than what they're used to. But Tom Brady being protected, I think it's going to be a big issue in terms of him being healthy for the whole season.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I would also say this. Bruce Arians has built offenses around non-mobile quarterbacks consistently. I mean, it quickly comes to mind Ben Roethlisberger, obviously, Kurt Warner. I mean, we've seen him sort of around guys that aren't particularly, you know, mobile. The other side with Tom Brady is that he gets rid of the ball so quickly as a general rule. I would expect that to continue. So I think Brady's going to do a good job of protecting himself in that situation. At least that would be my expectation. Look, I'm not saying that Brady and the Buccaneers aren't going to be very good. I'm just saying that across the board, if you're the Eagles, you believe that you've made enough acquisitions with Byron Jones coming in, with Darius Slay coming in, and then the fact that you believe that you have the right elements there. If you're the Eagles, you believe that you are a Super Bowl caliber team. Cowboys believe they're a Super Bowl caliber team. The Packers believe they're a Super Bowl caliber team. The Vikings believe that they're a Super Bowl caliber team. That doesn't even include San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans. You can go across the board and find a handful of teams in the NFC that believe today, and I'm not sure they're far off, that they're better with that as they stand today than the Buccaneers are with Tom Brady. I understand we love the hire. I understand that we love the signing, and I understand we want this to be great because, frankly, we love the battle of Belichick versus Brady. I'm just looking at it reasonably saying maybe making the playoffs is all we should expect from Tom Brady going in, and that's okay. We'll continue breaking it down. You don't want to miss the Will Cain Show. They're going to break down bank heists as only the Will Cain Show can. I'm still wondering what my role is in this and why I haven't been asked to be the driver. The driver's the most underrated part of the bank heist. Thanks for listening to First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Stay safe, everybody.
That was First Take. Now we want your take. Call in now. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776.